Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Adi, hour number three, coming live from our Quicken Loan studio. National mortgage lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. Big hour for you coming up. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206, around the country, 3 hours every single day. And this is a great way to start off the hour. The new head coach of the Tampa Bay Bucks, and it's his job to get Jameis Winston right and get the Bucks back on track. He's handed in a CVS blazer for the whistle. Never lost to Kango, so that's still in tow. Bruce Arians, Coach Bruce, is with us here on Tiki and Tierney. Bruce, what's happening, buddy?
What's going on, guys? How's it going up there?
Hey, first of all, what's congratulations up? And good luck down there in Tampa. But I got some beef with you, Coach. Ooh. Last time I had you on, you said the only team I'm coming out to coach is the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
What changed for you?
Well, they never called.
That's funny.
No, it was really weird. I keep saying the stars aligned for this, great ownership. Knew the general manager, loved the quarterback, and all my assistants were available. It's like, well, what else do you have to do to get a job? I mean, this was like perfect situation.
Yeah, no, you talk about all your assistants being available. And BT and I hit this frequently when there are coaching changes around the NFL. Not a lot of shows do it, but we do, because building a staff is truly one of the hardest things that a head coach has to do. As you looked at this, the Tampa Bay roster and the issues over the last couple of years, Jameis Winston, what in your mind says to you, I can make this right?
Oh, I think there's a lot of quality players on both sides of the ball. There's been issues with turnovers offensively, and some are technical, some are, decisions. Those are things we have to correct with coaching. But as far as wide receivers, running backs, tight ends, skill players, oh my gosh, we're loaded.
Yeah.
We've got to work some up front. But, there were times, first game of the year, they put up almost 50 in New Orleans. And there's talent, and defensively the same thing. Changed the entire philosophy of the defense, and really the whole organization is that we're going to attack.
Yeah.
And we're not going to read and react. We're going to attack.
Yeah.
And so hopefully we can let some of these young kids play some man-to-man and get more aggressive.
Well, that's been your MO your entire career as a coordinator and as a head coach. And you've just to switch over to Jameis specifically, we've seen the work that you've done with Peyton, with Big Ben, with Andrew Luck, others, Carson Palmer out in Arizona. Jameis Winston is an interesting case, and I know that your philosophy is to get to know this guy like you're his father and create that type of trust. Have you had a chance to meet with Jameis yet, and what's that relationship build going to be like? Because I think it's the most important one for you guys.
Oh, there's no doubt. And it's kind of an easy one. I had Jameis, Jake and I had a football camp, my son, in Birmingham when he was in high school, and we had him on 9th or 10th grade in our camp.
Oh, nice.
And I showed him a Super Bowl ring, and he's talked about how it set a dream for him being in that camp. And I followed his career because he was a legend in Birmingham even then.
Yeah.
So I've gotten to follow. It was funny because in that camp we have four kids that made the NFL.
Oh, get out of here. Who were the other three?
Yeah, it's crazy. Well, Amir Abdullah, Bobby McCain, and
Abdullah was the running back, played at Nebraska,
Amir,
right?
Yeah. Bobby McCain, the corner, nickel down in the Dolphins. And now I'm going to go mind blank and forget the fourth one, but
it's a good camp, though, Coach.
We'll look it up later.
That's good camp.
That's awesome,
though. Yeah, it was. It was crazy. he's been in. We've talked already. I think we have two of the best quarterback coaching minds in Clyde Christensen and Byron Leftwich for him to work with, And I'll be actively a part of that also.
I love it. Talking to Bruce Arians, of course, the new head coach of the Bucks. I don't know, Bruce, you forgot is more football than I know. But if it's up to me, I'm giving the football to Fitzpatrick, man. Forget about trying to fix Jameis Winston. Obviously, I'm just kidding. But, I mean, Fitzpatrick's not a bad guy to have in that quarterback room either. He's been around. He's smart. He's put up some points. He'll be an asset, right?
Well, there's no doubt. You know, Fitz, he's been doing it for a long time. And he's one of the streakiest guys I've ever played against.
Yeah.
And it's a very interesting room.
So Bruce, you know, for the year you got to put on the CBS blazer, bounce around the stadiums, watch games, call games, talk to staffs, just really inhale football from a very different angle. You've been around the game a long time, but learning never stops. What did you learn this year when you weren't coaching?
That everybody has music on practice on Friday. and it drove me crazy. I'm not a music guy, but
okay.
No, it was really fun seeing everybody's Friday's practices and how different they are, and what they were trying to accomplish on Fridays and in the production meetings, and just seeing a different aspect of a lot of different coaching trees, and it was fun. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. No, and one of the other things that I'm sure you noticed is the evolution or the, I don't know, whatever it is, the refiguring of offense in the National Football League. You going to institute any of these things that we've seen develop, like you saw in Kansas City, like we saw in Cleveland and in Chicago? Is any of that going to come into play for you guys?
Well, yeah, Cleveland's running our offense. So
yeah.
Freddie did a great job of, as soon as taking over, running a bunch of our stuff from Arizona. I mean, I have to laugh when I see all these young people getting hired when probably the most innovative guy in the last 20 years has been Andy Reid.
Yes.
And what Andy did and with his weapons this year, I thought was outstanding. But, yeah, we've always done a lot of the jet motion stuff and all that stuff. It's so cyclical. I mean, the jet sweep I saw in 1979 at Mississippi Delta Junior College.
Oh, my gosh. And, wow.
And it's not something new.
Yeah, no.
And so we actually ran that on a 4th-and-2 against Baltimore in like 2002. About 2002 to Dennis Northcutt for a big first down to win the game. So, I mean, it's cyclical. It's not brand new. I don't know if there's anything new in football anymore, but it does run in cycles. You know, so much defensive cycle, Tampa 2 and all that cycle. Now it's more wide open offense.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's just a matter of who brings it back and what kind of twist they can put on it. But speaking of Andy Reid and the Kansas City Chiefs, what is your take on overtime? We saw this in the AFC Championship game. You could just feel it. Whoever won the coin toss, literally all I was thinking about was who wins the coin toss. Whoever won when it wins it goes down and scores a touchdown. Do you think that needs to be changed or made more equitable in any way? Because it's almost unfair. Great game gets decided by heads or tails.
Yeah, I mean, it's still you got to play defense. I mean, if you give up a touchdown, I don't ever want to take the sudden death element out. You know, I was on a competition committee when we shortened it to 10 minutes because we had played an overtime game where we had 105 snaps on offense. We couldn't even practice the next week.
Wow, yeah.
And those things, I think for player safety, we dropped it to 10. I'm not in favor of the college rule because you're taking out the kicking game, and the kicking game is a huge part of football. And I just still think sudden death is the way to go.
Interesting.
But for me, play defense and stop them.
Yeah, no, listen, straight up, stop them. I mean, it's not like Tiki said the coin flip determined the game. No, the coin flip determined who would get the football with a chance to win the game. But I hear you.
Well,
stop them.
I mean, I love D. Ford. I think he's a great player.
Yeah.
But if he lines up 2 inches back, they win the game.
No doubt. No doubt about it.
They win the game with a field goal.
Yeah. Bruce Arians with us here, of course, new coach of the Bucks. That just sounds odd, the new coach of the Bucks.
Yeah.
He likes the colors red, though. He's hanging out in red. He's sticking with red.
You look good
in red. A
little
pewter as well.
By the way, has Rondé had you over for some whiskey yet?
We had, when I came in to sign it, he and when Chris was here, they had a great evening. We had a blast.
I know that. I know that you did because that's Rondé for you. Rondé owns that town down there.
Hey, Bruce, let me ask you this, though. On a serious note, right? Rondé's the man down there. That goes without saying. I heard Griffey, by the way, is a quick aside. Griffey
on the Hall of Fame yesterday driving home. Chris Edgar got in, and they called Griffey on the phone. Griffey played golf, and he's down in Tampa. I'm saying to myself as I'm driving, I guaranteed he played with Rondé. You got to ask him that if he played with Griffey yesterday. Bruce, the one knock or the one question about your return to the game, is Bruce in this for the long haul? How are you feeling health-wise, and do you really truly, I'm sure you hope, do you really expect to see the length of the contract and maybe beyond? I mean, that's out there, so I just want to throw it out there with respect.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in it for a ring, and you know, if we get one in the next 2 years, I'll probably go for two. But you know, that's what it's all about. I was so happy the Bucks made me take a physical, and I got a C. I'm like, I got a total physical, and I got a C for the first time maybe in 10 years. I've been an F.
Oh, wow! Oh, wow!
Okay.
Wow. I was really pumped. I got a C.
You got a pass. It's
like me with math in school.
Yeah,
see, I passed.
I mean, it was very refreshing, and doctors in Arizona and doctors at the lake say, "Hey, you're ready to go.
Yeah.
Your numbers are great." So
yeah,
I mean, that was really cool.
Yeah, you know, how was Chris taking this? Because obviously, you guys were you didn't retire because you were working for us at CBS and you know the lake house that you have and you know this easier lifestyle. How was your wife getting you back into this high pressure type of situation? Being a head coach in the NFL was probably the most stressful job in sport. How did she take it?
She gradually got more and more. As she saw me get excited, she got excited. When you hire a staff and she already knows 19 of the 22 wives.
Wow.
It's like they're all her friends. And so that part of it, just like I said, the stars kept aligning. Then the reception we got when we walked in the building, she was all in.
Yeah. No, you could see.
And the money doesn't hurt either, Bruce. That little extra zero, right?
I mean, CBS was doing them.
That's
all
true
right.
too. That's CBS true. Was paying them well.
Hey, Bruce, let me ask you about your former team, particularly a player, Antonio Brown. I know he's not your player anymore, but we've seen him evolve and change. And the question isn't who he is and why he's doing what he's doing, but can he be? Can he get put back on the path where people see him for the great player he is, and that's it, as opposed to all
really
the other
so.
Stuff?
Yeah, I really hope so because I love AB. You know, it's just a matter of. You know, everybody get on the same page and communicating, and I hope so because he is a great player and the game needs him.
Yeah.
See, but Bruce, I feel, and I don't disagree with what you just said, he is a great player and the game is more vibrant, more alive when he's doing his thing for sure. I think it's over in Pittsburgh. I don't know how he walks back into that locker room. You know, he didn't show up in week 17. Now, they didn't know what was going to happen on the other end of the other game, but they know that they had a win to possibly have a chance at a playoff team. He deserted his brothers. You know, that might sound overly dramatic, but that's what he did. He left his boys hanging. He left his brothers hanging. And I don't know how Tomlin or the organization would open the doors again for him. I wouldn't if it's my team. If you were coaching them, would you?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many things that I don't know.
Yeah.
And I don't think any of us know. So I would just refrain to comment just because – hey, that's their team.
Yeah,
I don't really want to talk about another guy's team. Mike does a great job, and you know, brothers fight all the time. You know, so it's easy to fix it when you're a brother and you're really a family.
Yeah, especially if they feel tight to him. But how about this guy who just can't seem to retire, Larry Fitzgerald, coach? I mean, he's ageless. He truly is. He takes unbelievable care of his body. He's a renaissance man. He travels the world. He does all these different things. He's announced that he's going to play his 16th season and you know, just further increase the record book, his standing in the record book. What can you tell us about Fitz? We've seen all the stories, but he's got to be one of your favorite players who have coached.
Oh, there's no doubt. But I think that hole-in-one with President Obama jacked him up to where he said, I'm playing again. You know, so yeah, the one thing about Larry, he's always in, like you said, he's always in great shape. He called me from Australia and asked me a couple questions. I mean, I love Larry. He's, you know, you never can talk about Larry the player before you talk about Larry the person, because he's twice as good a person that he is a player, and he's a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
By the way, how was that golf swing though? Was it one of those lucky hole in ones, or was it legit?
No, he's a man. Larry would get up, hit balls at 5 o'clock in the morning and then come to practice. I mean,
wow.
He has got the hook big time for golf, and he's He's got a heck. If he ever get a driver going, he'd be a crack.
So he's giving you strokes when you guys play.
Yeah, he better be now because I stink. My game went in the garbage.
Well, listen, if your game gets good again, that means you're not putting in the time at the facility, which we know won't be the case. So a couple years down the road, you get that handicap down. Hey, listen, man, obviously Teak is your guy, so I'll let him say goodbye. But we loved having you on. And welcome back to the NFL as a head coach, Bruce. It's always fun having you back in the league, man.
Yeah, you're one of the good ones.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, and we're excited for you. We're happy for you. I know Rondé is. He's been talking about it ever since he knew it was going to happen before it actually happened. So I'm good luck, Coach. And it's good to see you back on this side of the football field.
I appreciate it, nephew.
Be good.
Take care. Ending right there. Bruce Arians, head coach of the Tampa Bay Bucks.
Yeah, I think
what a hire.
I think he's going to do great stuff.
I do too.
Because he's got the right attitude, like the right mindset,
mm-hmm,
to not deal with nonsense.
They got to tighten up that defense you spoke about, but that offense is a threat. I mean, now they got DeSean Jackson.
Yeah,
although maybe with Bruce, maybe he'll be happy.
What were they? They were third or fourth in the NFL in offense.
Right there. Man, they were top five.
If it wasn't for the turnovers, as he mentioned, who knows where this season could have gone for them.
You think it would be crazy to think that Jameis Winston could be on the periphery of the MVP conversation next season?
I mean,
can he have that kind of an impact? You know how Bruce works with quarterbacks.
If Jameis wasn't such an unfocused turnover machine,
yeah,
think of how good he'd be.
Yeah, because he's got everything else. He's got the arm. He can move a little bit.
Right.
And the guys love him.
Right.
And he's not afraid of anything.
Right.
Good hire.
Yeah, I agree.
Look to see what he does with Tampa. We'll have him throughout the season, of course. Obviously,
I'm biased. And Bruce is our, I think, most populated guest. I think we've had him.
First show, December 2.
Yeah.
Pardon me, January 2, 2013, when the network launched.
Yeah.
First guest when we moved to our new time slot.
Mm-hmm.
And first guest when we got simulcast on TV.
Yeah.
And listen, where Bruce goes, we always get him on.
You're right.
You can always tell he's a little uncomfortable in the booth because he just wants to curse.
You're right.
You know what I mean? He's got to be all rigid in the CBS booth. Any booth, you can't curse. You're on live TV, obviously. Now Bruce could get back to being Bruce and coaching him up and see what he does for Jameis Winston. It's going to be fun to watch. All right, T, coming up, Alex Rodriguez. Some interesting comments today about Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens and the lack of movement yesterday for the two. You know, the PED users, certainly with Bonds, who admitted it, Clemens he's been a bit more evasive. What does that mean moving forward? There was a little small jump. Is it enough to possibly connect the dots that it's going to work out for them? We'll hit that coming up. Teak and Tierney will finish up. A little Hall of Fame, CBS Sports Radio.
This is Teak and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Hey, everybody, quick way to save a little money. Switch to Geico. Whether it's homeowners, renters, motorcycle insurance, get it all at geico.com. All right, Teak and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. Bruce Arians was phenomenal. That'll be up on TeakyandTierney.com, YouTube, all the outlets to catch up with the show. He's going to do a good job there.
Yeah.
There's not a doubt in my mind he's going to do a good job.
And I'm biased, but I think he's great.
I do too.
He is great.
I mean, I would love the Jets. I wish the Jets would have hired him.
Yeah.
You know, and I knew they wouldn't because the whole Todd Bowles, he wasn't going to do that to his guy Todd Bowles, but I was all in. I mean, once I heard that he was interested in the Browns. And what a great, honest answer.
Yeah.
And the Browns didn't call.
They didn't call.
Had to come up with a second team.
The fact that he has such familiarity with his staff, too, is something that can't be overlooked. Because it's so hard early on with new staffs who don't know each other to find a coordinated system to, you know, from practice to everything else. So they're off on the right foot. Tampa's It's an established market, so to speak, but it still feels like it's been waiting for that push, right, to lift itself in Tampa. I mean, Tony Dungy brought it. Tony lifted it. Tony made them relevant.
Mm-hmm.
Tony Dungy. He obviously didn't win a championship. His team won a championship, but it was John Gruden was the head coach. But since then, it's been, I don't know, it's been dicey. For a lot of years in Tampa.
Lovie Smith, Schiano.
3 years and out.
Cutter.
And out. Couple years and out.
They recycle quite a few.
That's hard, man. It's hard to find any level of success when you do that.
You know what they've really never had? I mean, obviously, when they drafted Testaverde first overall a million years ago and Vinny just threw a million picks and they just weren't ready to win.
Mm-hmm.
DeBerg, right? What was DeBerg, the early quarterback there with those uniform Leroy Selman, 79 DeBerg.
He came from from Kansas City, right?
I think it was DeBerg when they had that great season in 79. I think it was DeBerg. But what they've really lacked, even with the championship, they've never had a franchise quarterback. Maybe I'm missing somebody, but so maybe Nevers a little bit too strong. But if you think about their quarterback history.
Yeah, I'm going to look.
It's been a lot of revolving doors, and that's part of the reason why, you know, fan bases, and there's obviously a correlation to do you have a franchise quarterback, and if you do, guaranteed you're going to have some 10, 11 win seasons and some playoff runs. And conversely, if you don't have the quarterback, you're going to have a lot of 4-12 win seasons, and you're going to have a lot of head coaches. I mean, there's obviously a correlation there.
But
they never really had that guy.
The division loss back in 79. The conference championship loss.
Who
back
was that?
In
who was the quarterback?
It was actually Doug Williams.
Was it Doug?
Yeah, so Doug Williams.
79?
But when you think about it, BT, that was really it.
I mean,
seriously, you go back, it started with Steve Spurrier, and then it was, I know, right? Then Doug Williams, but he was only there for 5 years, Doug Williams. And then you get, DeBerg for a few years. Steve Young is there for a season.
Yep.
Then Testaverde comes in.
But he was there, about 5 years?
5 years, exactly right. Then Trent Dilfer is there for 5 years, but there's no...
Keep going. You have the whole list there?
Dilfer,
keep going.
And then Johnson.
Brad Johnson.
Brad Johnson is there.
Yep.
And Brad won the Super Bowl in 2002. Then you go to Greasy and Sims and got Gradkowski.
Chris was actually showing a little promise before he got hurt, Chris Sims.
Yeah, he lacerated his
spleen.
Spleen, and that was just ugly.
Yeah.
My mom was at the hospital with him because his family wasn't there.
I knew that story. He said that on the air one day. That was crazy,
Jeff
that story.
Jeff Garcia was there for a couple minutes.
Yeah, Jeff Garcia was actually an underrated good quarterback.
Right. Mike Freeman. Niners. Mike Freeman was there.
No, Josh Freeman.
I mean, Josh Freeman was there. I'm thinking Mike
the
Freeman,
writer.
The writer from Bleacher Report.
Josh Freeman had that huge season, like 20 something touchdowns and only a handful of picks.
And then
I don't know what happened to him.
What happened to him.
Yeah, I hear you.
And then Glennon, McCown, and then Jameis Winston. You're right. There hasn't been like a decade long.
No?
This is our guy. We're building around him. He's going to be here for the long haul. They want Jameis to be that guy.
Of course.
But Jameis has got to get right.
Where's Jameis in 3 years?
He's there.
I think it's going to work out too.
I think it is.
I have some positivity. Like, I feel positive about this
Me too.
Not positive in the absolute sense, but I have a feeling of positivity.
Agreed.
That is going to work out in a positive manner. Like, it's going to be more good than bad.
Agreed.
You know, I just, I was going to say he's too good, but.
It's not bad.
But that's not it. Because think about all the litany of quarterbacks that can spin it.
Yeah.
That just didn't work out for myriad reasons. The Jeff Georges, you know, Vinny Testaverde early in Tampa, even though Vinny found success with the Browns and the Ravens and, of course, the Jets, for a minute. But there's been so many quarterbacks that just, for whatever reason, didn't work out.
And it feels like he's been there for a while.
You never know.
It's been there for 4 years. He's still only 25 years old.
Yep.
Just turned 25.
Mm-hmm.
And so if he can, I think the stupidity / naive nature that he was living life, I think, is gone now.
Mm-hmm.
He got smacked really hard by the NFL, by that lawsuit from the Uber driver. I don't want to opine or talk about what he was thinking, but I think he now knows I can't do anything without someone looking at me.
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever reason, he didn't know that.
Took him a while to get that message through his head. I mean, the only thing that worries me about Winston from
a football standpoint.
Yeah, from a career arc. We're just keeping it to the field for a second. Is that, you know, he has what a lot of younger quarterbacks don't have. And that's an assortment of weapons.
Mm-hmm.
So he's been able to even be a little sloppy. Let me throw it up 50-50. Yeah. Mike Evans, he's in the vicinity.
Mike Evans is 6'5". Top five wide receiver football right now.
And Mike Evans is 6'5", 240. He's chiseled. He'll win it. You know, he'll win the 50-50 battle. So he hasn't really had to refine his craft, and he's still sloppy.
That's right.
And he's still prone to mistakes, even with the Sean Jackson. I know he'll be gone, but who can just take the top off of any defense still.
Yeah.
Tight ends who can run and who have some wiggle. Obviously Evans, who, if he's not top five, he's top six or seven.
Cameron Braid is really good there. You can't, like, we talk about the other kid. Why am I forgetting?
O.J. Howard.
We're talking about O.J. Howard, but they have two really good
ones. I know.
O.J. Howard's good. Cameron Braid is good. Chris Godwin is a young, developing wide receiver. He's only 22 years old. So, yeah, even if they do lose DJ, I think it's there's still the opportunity there for him to have great weapons around him. You know what I mean?
Oh, no question. So. But it doesn't offset my point about his it hasn't been necessary for him to be
precise
and refined. He's gotten away with sloppiness. And you know this, the attrition of a quarterback, you go through cycles where you've got a loaded roster and you've got nothing. Mm-hmm. What happens when he's got nothing?
Right.
And he doesn't learn to really be precise. Right. That's the one thing that I worry about.
Because that's why
in addition to off the
field. That's why we lift Tom Brady so high on the all-time list. Granted, he's won a ton, but it's also because he makes people better.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Rodgers, same way.
Yep.
Why do we revel about Aaron Rodgers? Because he makes average or above average players look like they're great.
Yep.
You know?
So yeah.
Jameis has to learn how to do that still.
Oof. Isn't that innate, though? Do you learn how to do that? No. Don't you kind of just have that?
I think it's
a
process.
You think so?
I think it is. Okay. I think some kids learn it. I think the difference is some kids learn it when they're like in high school and college.
Yeah.
Others have to get it when they get into the National Football League.
Okay.
Jameis didn't have to do that at Florida State. He was sloppy.
Yeah. A lot of picks, but a lot of touchdowns. I think it was 17 this last year. Yeah.
Last year.
It was definitely over 15. I think it was 17.
Right. And he was still the number one pick. Or second. No, he was number one.
First, yeah. And then Mariota went number two.
Right.
All right. Coming up, we'll get to that A-Rod stuff. He said something interesting earlier today, which opens up the door not only perhaps for A-Rod, but more directly, Bonds and Clemens. A little snippet from the voting yesterday. What does that tell for their immortality future in terms of eventually being perhaps led into the hallowed halls of Cooperstown? We'll get to that, but Axe got the update. We have the blast after that as well. Rich Ackerman right now.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, Tiki, we got a lot to do here, so let's first answer our Ask the Pros question of the day here, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. A little baseball slam. Billy in Des Moines, Iowa, and he's got us up on 1700, the champ. Let's see. Billy says, all right, BT, you said earlier that Mo shouldn't have been the first player to get 100% of the votes for the Hall of Fame because he's a closer. Are closers and DHs viewed in the same light when it comes to the Hall of Fame? No. I think there was an earlier thawing of the closer position, certainly more so than the designated hitter. You got to remember, the DH was born in 1973. Ron Bloomberg was the first DH for the 1970. Remember, we had Ron on the show.
Yes, that's right.
He was in studio.
I do remember that.
That was a long time ago. 1973 Yankees. He was a DH, but there was closers and there was relief pitchers before that. So, the 70s had some great ones, and Raleigh Fingers and Dennis Eckersley into the 80s, and of course Mariano and a couple of really good ones in between. No, I don't think they're viewed exactly in the same light, but they are both unique. I would put it that way.
Yes,
I think, and both require different schools of thought and different angles as you approach conversation. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, Teak. All your car care needs, guarantee low prices, and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. All right, so we'll get to the blast here in a little bit. What I find interesting now, D-Cell, do you have the results from yesterday in front of you? You do, right?
I do.
Okay. Run through from the line of delineation, who made it. Just run through some of the names below that and give us the percentage they received yesterday. Not previous years, because I know most of them. Just yesterday.
Well, the two big ones, Roger Clemens,
yep.
Barry Bonds, both only up about 2%.
A little less than 2%.
Yeah. 59.
Okay. Oh, Larry Walker had a pretty big jump. I think he jumped 80-something votes, and to make it, he would have to jump about 87 votes, which that's only happened like once in Major League Baseball, where it was Barry Larkins, which is somewhat recent, someone else we've had on the show.
Yep.
Who else?
I thought he was going to get the.
Remember that? We were pushing him for the Reds
for
gig.
The Reds job.
He kind of wanted it, too.
I know.
He didn't get
it.
Give us a few other names and percentages. Nothing else, really. Larry Walker, I just said Larry. Besides Larry, see, that's why I think there's an avenue. And a lot of people disagree with me on this, but I think that you have to look at next year when you want to get a sense of, well, Curt Schilling is around 60%. Curt Schilling's getting in, and I believe he should.
Mm-hmm.
But next year, outside of Derek Jeter for the 2020 class of Hall of Fame class, and maybe we'll get a trend here. Maybe Jeter gets 100% as well, and if not, it's going to be high 90s. He's obviously going to moonwalk in. He's a lock. But the 2020 class is kind of weak. You know, Jason Giambi wrapped up in the Mitchell Report and steroids.
Yep.
So he's not getting in.
You're talking about the first ballot guys.
Talking about the first ballot guys, not so much the holdovers.
Yeah.
Because you have to incorporate that, because if it's a very strong ballot, then the possible upward movement necessary for Bonds and Clemens probably isn't there if it's really strong.
Yeah.
Because those guys take away some of the attention. If it's lacking, which is why I position it the way I do, it is lacking. I believe next year that you will see
interesting.
They will jump up minimally 7 to 8%.
So mid-60s.
Roughly. Yeah, so I think they'll start trending 66, 67%. That's how they'll start polling. I believe that will be their new reality.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's going to come down to really their final year on the ballot.
Yeah.
And which I believe coincides with David Ortiz's first year on the ballot, if I'm not mistaken. And that's where it gets really interesting, because David Ortiz is going to get a lot of love.
Yeah, he is. And I think
he was on the list.
Yeah. The DH is what he primarily played. That's why the Martinez induction, which happened on his last time. That's why Harold Baines, even though that was on the Today's Game committee. It's why it's a precursor. You're setting it up for it. It seems like, at least that's what it feels like. But it's interesting what Alex Rodriguez said, and we mentioned this a couple times. When asked about this on First Take today, he said, "Of course, I want them to get in." This is his quote. "Because that would mean that I would have the opportunity to get in one day."
Oh, appreciate the honesty. Very candid. That's awesome. That's a good response.
I think that's a fantastic response.
See, that's the non-fake and non-phony and non-packaged A-Rod, which we actually love.
Yeah, he is.
The phony guy, we couldn't stand
him. He's a different guy now.
Yep.
He's not who we thought he was. What used to be.
Yeah. No, he's changed a little bit. Self-reflection.
I told you. Did I tell you I went to a dinner with him?
I lose track of all your high-profile dinners.
But it was
the one with Saquon Barkley?
No, this was with Berkowitz.
Prince?
No, Berkowitz. Ron. Ronnie Berkowitz, who we love.
Berk.
Berkowitz. Had it at Del Frisco's. Okay. And it was down in the basement down there, in the wine cellar. And he was, like, really cool, man. Like, it was the Alex Rodriguez that I hadn't experienced, and he was just talking real.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's just... I like this new Alex.
Me too.
Because he says things that we all know.
Yep.
Or he used to,
gloss over. I know.
Right?
Or try
that doesn't, what are you talking about? It doesn't exist. Now he just says it out front.
Let alone flat out lying to Francesa down the hall.
Yes.
I mean, just flat out lie after lie after lie.
You're right.
After lie. No, this Alex Rodriguez is great for the game of baseball.
He says, and this is another quote that he says, "I've taken the approach that I think talking about it is best." Talking about the PEDs.
Yep.
"I've made my mistakes. I've paid huge penalties."
That's smart.
Which he has.
Suspended for a season.
You're right. 2014.
Yep. A lot of those incremental bonuses, $6 million when he jumped over certain players on the home run list.
Yep.
Lost money there. He never got a chance to become the all-time home run king, which he probably would have been.
Yeah.
And one of the greatest players I've ever seen. I don't want to say without repair, because I believe that there's going to be a reconciliation in large part as we get a little deeper into this.
Yeah.
I believe Bonds, whether it's the next committee or eventually voted in conventionally, Bonds will be in, Clemens will be in, A-Rod will be in. I believe Pete Rose will eventually be in.
Yeah.
And all will be good.
Yeah.
I like this A-Rod, though.
The self-awareness.
A lot.
And this is the last quote of this article. Quote, "I would love to get into the Hall, but I understand that I made my own bed. So if I don't make it to the Hall of Fame, I can live with that. I'll be bummed. It would suck. And I can't believe I put myself in that situation. But if that happens, I have no one to blame but myself."
No, that's not the quote that I have. It's close. He says, how did that quote start? Because I have something a little bit different.
"I would love to get into the Hall of Fame, but I understand that I made my own bed."
I would love to get into the Hall of Fame. I understand that I've made my own bed. But if I don't get into the Hall of Fame, keep in mind, I have J-Lo waiting in bed.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really matter if he gets it all.
So I win regardless. I win.
That's what he's basically saying. That's what I'm saying for him.
Hashtag winning.
Let's get to the blast. Here we go.
So many topics, so little time. We give you 5 stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for The Blast with Tiki and Tierney.
Okay, Tiki, here we go. Anthony Davis could miss a couple of weeks here, this time a finger injury. We know he's had a litany of injuries, nothing incredibly serious, but every year something flares up, a week here, 10 days here. Concerned about giving AD a max contract because he's injury prone, are you?
Absolutely not. He's still a terror. Even if he misses 10, 15 games a year, as long as he's healthy come postseason, he's going to be a difference maker. As we saw last year without Boogie, who went down with the Achilles, the Pelicans were good, even though he did miss some time.
If there's ever a discussion in any war room or front office or organization's building where the hierarchy sits and they're discussing Anthony Davis and they come to the determination that based on his injuries, they should not offer him a max contract, they should be in Siberia.
Yes.
We should never see those people again. They got to leave the basketball world. Get out. Miller Park in Milwaukee is going to get a new name, 2021. Will it always be Miller Park to you? No. I by the way, Miller Park is pretty cool. I still see Milwaukee County Stadium. That, I mean, listen, you always kind of gravitate to what and toward what you saw as a kid. And that's a cool stadium. It opens. You got Billy sliding down into the Suds. Got to love it. But my early Brewer days were Robin Yount and Paul Molitor and Harvey's Wallbangers in the early 80s.
Not me at all.
But Milwaukee County Stadium.
Maybe locally. But, I mean, do they serve IPAs there or is it just Miller?
It's a good question.
I mean,
I'd have to think they've got a little bit of a diverse, well, maybe not, naming rights. I don't know.
Call it IPA Park.
How about this? Jay-Z. All right, Jay-Z. He's making moves. Jay-Z, I was watching some of this game, too, because Pitt is a little bit better than they were supposed to be. Capel's doing a pretty good job, even though Duke won. Zion went for 25-7-7, and Jay-Z and his clan were sitting front row doing a little recruiting, a little Rock Nation. Mm-hmm. You think Zion wanted to impress him?
No, I don't think he wanted to impress him. I think Zion.
Who's Zaywan?
No, right?
I was thinking Saquon, because he's in Rock Nation, too.
No, he's not. He was. CAA.
He fired Jay? Fired Jay-Z?
He did.
Ooh, that takes guts, man.
He did. Fired Jay-Z? I just saw a picture with him with Pekas, Sean Pekas, who runs Rock Nation.
Yeah, we know. We were at the party with him that night. He's a good dude.
There was a picture with Saquon and Pekas. I'm like, all right, what the hell is going on
here? So it was a friendly firing?
Or something. I don't know.
I didn't know that. All right.
Either that or Saquon's still paying Rock because they did the contract. Who knows?
Gotcha.
Do I think they were impressing him? No, I think Zion just is a high flyer all the time. Period.
Yeah, I agree.
He's a baller like that.
He's trying to be Zion. He's not trying to impress anybody. But he did say he called him the GOAT after the game, so his quotes were very reverential.
Yes.
So you know how he views Jay-Z in terms of his lyrics. Listen, that's a cool arena. I've been there a couple times. It's actually really cool. The Oakland Zoo and the fans are fired up again. It's in the middle of nowhere. So for Jay-Z to go there, you know what he was there for.
Yeah,
recruiting trip. Business. All right, former NFL running back Darren McFadden arrested for a DUI. He fell asleep at a Whataburger drive-thru. That's not a good look. Does the NFL prepare players for life after football? I mean, that's not fit. Talk about a leap of faith there. I mean, D-Cell, that's a tough question.
Yeah.
I mean, do they prepare? It's not really their job to prepare players for life after football. It's their job to compensate them while they're playing. You'd like them to have lifelong health insurance and benefits, but you know, school prepares you for life. I don't know if the NFL is supposed to prepare you for that.
There are development teams within NFL organizations, some of which do really good jobs, but it's city to city and it's team to team. Like some teams just don't have the resources to do it.
Yeah.
But most teams do, and I agree with BT. At some point, you got to take responsibility for yourself. What are the details of this, D-Cell? Do you know? Did he take a blood alcohol test or blow or anything like that?
I don't know, and I read it too, but I forgot if he refused it. He was asleep at the drive-thru, slumped
smart,
over.
He refused it and just said, I was tired.
Yeah. I don't think it worked, though, because he still got arrested.
I mean, you can still get arrested.
Yeah.
Even if you refuse.
Lesser charge, though. Right?
It's just easier to plea out of it.
That's true. All right, more intriguing game tonight. The Raptors-Pacers, pretty good in the Eastern Conference, or the Spurs and the Sixers, a little matchup of West versus East.
Spurs-Sixers for me.
Forget about that. I want to see what the Nets have tonight, even though the Nets are only playing. My answer is neither. You know what? First of all, I want to see James Harden drop 60,000 points on my Knicks at the Garden in 2 hours so the Knicks could keep on losing.
Yeah.
And I want to see if the Nets could keep on winning to play the Magic.
By the way, the Raptors, Kawhi's not even playing, so why am I watching?
Yeah, I know Kawhi, a little maintenance day again. Fourth straight game. Fourth straight.
And Jimmy Butler's out for the 76ers. But I actually want to watch the 76ers without Jimmy Butler because, honestly, I think they're better without him.
Without Butler.
Yeah. They destroy. Who did they destroy? Houston without Jimmy Butler.
I don't think Houston's that good.
It doesn't matter. But they looked great without Jimmy Butler. And Joel Embiid looked great without Jimmy Butler. So
I'd say the game I don't have a lot of interest in.
I think I'm just anti-Jimmy Butler.
It sounds that way.
Time's up. The blast is over for another game.
Keep this on track.
All right. Don't say you want to see the Bulls in the Heat.
I said that's the game I don't want to see.
Yes. Oh.
Oh, that was weak, right?
That was a
I told you, I started doing those ropes at the gym. I'm dying. All right.
BT, that was the most disgusting throw.
It was a no, wait.
I don't care.
It was a free throw.
That was all right. Thank you.
Come on. You got to try to embarrass me like that.
You embarrassed yourself. You did
it. But it was a free throw. You shoot a free throw like that.
Yeah, but you know, you can't hit the lights.
Dude, you don't always have to throw a fastball. There's change-ups, too.
Yeah.
Got to keep them guessing, Barber.
Just
you know what I mean?
Just hit it.
I bet I hit you.
Just hit it.
See you tomorrow.
Oh, nice. You hit it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.